Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever had an experience where you had somebody that you trusted there were maybe an acquaintance and somebody who thought well of you? Maybe it was at work. Maybe you have a coworker and they think well of you. And then maybe another employee gets hired. And I don't know, maybe a month or two down the road, they start to say things about you. They start talking stink about you to the other people. And pretty soon, you don't have a great reputation anymore with the people that you thought were trusting you. Yeah? And so you find somehow, some way, these new people were able to come in and kind of poison the minds of people that you thought were on your side, and all of a sudden you find out, wait a minute, what? They twist around things that you say, they take the words out of context, and all of a sudden these people are your enemy when you thought they were your friends. Ever happen? So it happens more often than we care to admit. The text we're in today, that happened to the Apostle Paul. Now, it happened more as he was teaching the crowd, and he thought, well, they were getting it. They were getting the gospel. And then these troublemakers come in, and they start stirring everything up. And they start poisoning the minds of these people that were receiving the gospel. They were receiving the teaching, but all of a sudden everything's got flipped upside down on them. And they find themselves in a real struggle with the city kind of divided. And let's go ahead and look at the text this morning to see what happened to these guys. It says, now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, some with the apostles. But an attempt was made by both Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them. They learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, into the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Now you see what happened? Their minds were poisoned, and the people were divided. Sound familiar, anybody? Kind of sounds like America, doesn't it? Yeah. And I want to talk about mind games this morning. See, our minds can be affected for evil or for good. They could be affected by God for good, or they could be affected by Satan, the devil, for evil purposes. And don't fool yourself. Just because you are a believer doesn't mean you cannot be taken off guard and be affected. That's why Ephesians 6 talks about what? Putting on the what? The full armor. Very good, Bible students. So you put on the full armor of God to protect yourself against the poisoned arrows, those arrows, and we'll talk about that towards the end of the message. But there are three areas that we have to be very careful of as believers in Christ, I believe, that affect our lives, in which we can be influenced for good, but our minds can also be poisoned. And the first I'll just say right now is the company that we keep. The company we keep. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Or some versions say, bad company corrupts good character. In other words, you're going to be most like the people that you hang out with eventually, if those are the only kind of people that you hang out with. So for believers, some people have asked me, in fact, I had somebody a couple months ago ask me this. Is it okay to be with a friend in an environment and with their friends, and it may be at a bar or maybe where they're doing something, you know, maybe they're smoking something they shouldn't or some drinking or whatever. And I said, well, it's like this. Who's influencing who? You see, we know that as Christians we have the Holy Spirit, right? But we still have this thing. We have one nature. It's a spiritual nature. But the Bible says we have this other thing. It's called what? Starts with an F. The flesh, right? You know what the flesh is? It's not this skin stuff here. That's not the flesh. What the flesh in the New Testament means, it's that part of you and I that can be affected for evil. It's that part of you and I that can be influenced to do what is wrong, right? So that's why Paul says, do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, right? And so what we're doing is we're putting ourselves in a situation. It's kind of like this. Imagine if there's a stepladder up here. And I'm climbing up the stepladder, and I'm kind of a new believer, or, you know, I'm still figuring my way out, and here's somebody, and they're into some things that I'm trying to get out of, or that I don't want to get into in the first place, and they're on a lower level, and I'm trying to grab their hand and pull them up to the next step on the ladder. What do you think is easier, for them to pull me down off the ladder, or for me to pull them up? Gravity works against you, my friend, and so does with sin. And so when we put ourselves in situations like this, it, by nature, we are already positioning ourselves in a disadvantage. What we're doing is we're putting ourselves in a place to easily be yanked down off of the ladder. Now, I'm not saying one person is better than the other. Don't misconstrue that. But what I'm saying is that we have to be careful of the company that we keep. And you may have people that are at your work, maybe they're Christians, that's great. If you have family members that are Christians, that's great. You know, if you have all Christians around you, that's wonderful. Yours is another issue. You need to go find somebody to minister to. You need to find somebody who doesn't know the Lord and share the Lord with them and, you know, kind of be involved in their life. But if you are a believer and you have no Christian friends, not at work, your family doesn't, you're the only one in your family that knows the Lord. So you go home, you're it. You go to work, you're the only one at work that knows the Lord. That's it. And you don't have anybody at church that you get together with. And so your life is void of anybody else really coming into it. Maybe you get on the computer. Maybe you do something online. But it does not replace, online and social media and texting can never replace person-to-person, face-to-face fellowship. Amen? That should be a new phrase, face-to-face fellowship. Because that's how it really happens. I mean, oh, no, Pastor, you know, I got church online. No, no. That's nice for learning, but we got to be face-to-face. I can't read your face. I love reading your guys' faces. You guys have all these funny expressions. You're like, It's like, what did he say? You know, or it's like, And so I can read your face, and when I'm sitting down having a conversation in a small group in a mean church, I can read your expressions. I can see the emotion. I can't see, I'm sorry, emojis? No. It's just not working for me, right? Smiley face, you lie. You know, you could put anything you want down there, right? Don't smiley face me. I know you're hurting, right? So, but what I'm saying is that we need people to help us to grow in Jesus. You know what discipleship is? It means having Christian friends that help you to grow in the Lord. That's it. That's all that is. But if you don't have anybody in your life, get somebody, even if it's just one other believer. So that is one area of influence. And that really leads into the second area. And that is not only the company we keep, but the counsel that we seek, right? Psalms 1:1 says, do not sit in this, you know, do not be counseled by the wicked, right? Don't sit in the seat of mockers. And so you want to have good counsel in your life. You want people with godly wisdom. Amen? Isn't that true? When you want to make a big decision in your life, you don't want somebody who doesn't know the Lord just saying whatevers, right? Whatever kind of information, whatever kind of opinion, is their opinion based in the Word of God? Do they follow Jesus? Or are they giving you their opinion based on something they watched on TV? Or, well, that's the way they always live their life. And so people have all these different opinions, but we're to form our opinions through what? God's Word, right? And so we want to seek wise counsel. But unfortunately, as believers, sometimes we don't seek the wise counsel, and that can really hurt. And then there's the third, and we'll talk about this a little more. So you guys got that? I mean, basically have believing friends, right? I'm not saying don't have unbelieving friends, because again, you want to witness to people, you want to minister to people, and you're not saying you're better than them, but those that you hang out with, those that you have heart-to-heart conversations with, those who you can bare your soul with and say, hey, I'm really struggling, these need to be believers. These need to be people that you will help encourage you, right? And they're not just pulling something, well, you know, I read this thing online, or, you know, Oprah says so-and-so, I mean, you know, whatever. But wait, I want the Word of God, and I want somebody infused with the Word of God, and I want to be able to go to them and go, hey, what do you think? Media that we consume. Oh. What is media? Media is anything I watch, anything I listen to, anything that is going to affect my thinking processes, right? So it's not just people, right? And you might... what's the first thing you guys are thinking about? When I say the media you consume, what do you guys think about? What do you think about, Sarah?
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook. Okay, what else?
The news,
very good. What else, Aileen, what do you think?
Internet,
right. Charlene?
Can't think of one right now.
That's fine. But you know what? So you guys are all right. And I will confess this. Confessions of Pastor Dave. I will confess, I have been a news hog, and I'm going to repent of it. You know why? Because when I discovered, and I've been researching this and finding out other people have been having the same problem as me, is as pastors, we're to be shepherds of the flock. We want to care for you guys, so we want to make sure not only that we study the Word of God, but that we also educate ourselves on the culture, what's going on, right? What is going on in the world? What is going on in the culture? So for me, I'm reading articles, and I get all those alerts, and then you get that clickbait. Oh my gosh, clickbait is basically something totally not what you're going to read, right? Don't you hate that? This one weird trick will... No, that one weird trick will do nothing for you. Don't even click it. So, I want to be updated. I want to be alert, especially so I get Christian headlines. Sometimes Christian headlines, that's one of the worst sites, because you get this news and you read it and that's not at all what it's about. And some of the Christian articles go overboard, right, on how, oh, this is so horrible, and they totally take the news out of context. I've seen it on the left. I've seen it on the right. I've seen Republicans. I've seen Democrats. I've seen everybody fudge the truth a little. And frankly, what it's been doing, though, is I'm not getting informed. I'm getting mad. I'm getting angry. Man, this world, what's going on, man? Oh, God, come, you know, right? Because that's just a Christian response. Well, but it should be joy. It shouldn't be like, oh, I can't wait till Jesus comes. Oh, Lord, I just can't wait till you come back. Life sucks. It's so horrible here. Oh, I gotta live in this world. Really? You ever feel like that? And I'll admit to you, I've gone through that phase. You know, gang, this is not about the elections and who's been president the past, you know, 8 years or the new guy or any of that stuff. This is about us getting caught up and letting somebody else play mind games and direct our narrative rather than us setting the pace and getting out in front and going, no, the church should be out in front leading and we're the ones that we should be influencing. Amen? We shouldn't be letting these guys get us so stirred up. And what I find is a lot of times I can know just a little bit. I can know 25 years ago, you opened the newspaper in the morning and then you saw the 5 o'clock news at night, and that was good. And now we've got cable news. And in 1993, something called the Fairness Doctrine was lifted. The Fairness Doctrine basically said if you show one side or politically or whatever, one view, you got to give airtime to the other side. And so everybody's kind of like, chill. Then they got rid of the Fairness Doctrine and they said, it's party time. And so then you got all these opinion news channels, right? You have Fox News and all these guys and all the editorials, opinions on CNN and people started showing a lot more, and then you start getting wound up. Now, sometimes there was good information, but the package that it comes in is not always good. Amen? And so we've got to be careful. So that happened. And then that wasn't enough that we had the 24-hour news cycle. Then we got Facebook, Twitter, right? And we've got all this stuff coming at us 24 hours. We get alerts. You know, my phone, like, bing. Oh, I got a call. No, it's just a Facebook alert. Ding. I got a call. No, it's Honolulu Advertiser. Seriously. And so, but most of the stuff is, 99% of the stuff we can do nothing about. And I will tell you, most of these articles are opinion pieces. They're not journalism. There's a thing that used to be called yellow journalism. That is, a journalist would have a slight bias. It's not even journalism anymore. Most of the news media that you see on television and online is opinion. It's entertainment. It's not actual news. There's little snippets of news inside of it, but it's couched in mostly entertainment. And so the Christians, the church, we've kind of been suckered a little bit. And I'm saying, starting with me, because I'm thinking, well, we're up on this. You know, this is what's going on. And maybe so. Maybe some of those facts are true. But you know what? I find reading a book on a subject cover to cover, you'll probably learn a lot more than you're going to learn in any of these news articles, because they take certain facts that they want to highlight and they leave other ones out, depending upon how they want to convince you. Here's the other thing. This is why I'm going to talk about this morning, because did you know that our brains are wired for negativity? They are. So I believe this isn't because of evolution, some survival instinct, we look for danger. No, I think it's the fall. I think that we were created to basically look, you know, for good, for the beauty in life. But when our ancestors sinned and sin came upon us and we fell from grace, something in us, in our makeup, was changed in that we kind of look for the negative. Now, evolutionists will say, well, it's a survival thing. You know, we look for danger and we look for the negative. I don't know about that. There's a debate. But this I do know. For some reason, and our flesh, that human part of that human nature, that flesh part of us, there's a little switch in our brain stuck on negative, and somebody broke off the switch. Somebody broke it. You can't turn it. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Why am I like this? Why do I have these negative thoughts all the time? Why do I have self-defeating? You're wondering, why do I have the self-defeating thoughts? It's because the flesh will always want to go for the negative. That's why it says in Romans 8 that basically the flesh doesn't want to obey the Spirit, right? Doesn't want to do, doesn't want to be obedient. Why? Because it's stuck on the negative. Always stuck on the negative. It's never going to do, the flesh never wants you to do anything that's good for you. Wants you to do everything that is bad for you and calls it fun, right? Let's party, let's do this, let's get drunk, let's throw up the next day. No, that's really bad for you. But the flesh is like, yeah, no. So it's all on the negative. You understand what I'm saying? From a spiritual standpoint, from a physical standpoint. So how in the world this works with the media is that they know that we're focused on the negative. You ever hear if it bleeds, it leads? basically, the more tragic it is, let's get that story out front. And so now, rather than doing it once or twice a day, they're doing it every minute. And so you're hearing everything around the world. Not that it's not relevant, but as we're not designed to take all this bad news in, and what's happening is we're getting depressed and we're getting discouraged, and we're like chicken running around like, the world's sky is falling, the sky is falling, the world's falling apart. And, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. What in the world is a handbasket? And why is the world in it? I never understood that. I should Google that. But the world is going in a place where we're going to be redeemed. Amen? And so the media, the people that are in charge of this, they put stories in such a way where we'll watch and we'll up their ratings. Oh, like this, like this, like this. And we up their ratings and we help them. So, but what's happening to us is there's this thing in our brain, and scientists, the one word is called neuroplasticity. You guys ever hear of this? Neuroplasticity. You guys used to think your brain stopped developing, right? Remember they told you that it develops as a child, and as an adult, it just kind of stops somewhere. Not true. You and I rewire our brains with every experience we have, whether good or bad. The good things we have in our life, our grandkids, our children, and the vacations, and the singing, worship, and all the good experiences we have, wire our brain in a positive way. But we consume a bunch of negative, and it wires our brain in a negative way. Now I'm giving you a very unscientific explanation for it, but basically, our brain, we can change the chemistry in our brain. We can change the way we think. So you're not hardwired. So whatever your issue, you've been told, oh, that's never going to change in you. Baloney. Baloney. Because the news media knows about this, and they've been using it. Why aren't we aware of this? Go Google it. Neuroplasticity. You can, I don't care if you fact check me. Go for it. Because what happens is we need to renew our thinking, right? So it's so interesting that the Bible already speaks to this. Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? To renew your mind. Renew. The mind always has to be renewed, right? Romans 12, 1. Renew your mind. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be renewed in your mind, right? This stuff is old, but it's saying truths that are just timeless, that have been ignored. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 10:5. You ever see this? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, how many guys think that, how do I take my thoughts captive? Like picturing little balloons above your head. You're like, oh, and you're trying to grab them. You know, no, no, right? Lust, no, that's bad. You know, right? That's not exactly how it works. Do you guys want me to explain what this scripture means? Okay. The Apostle Paul is using what's called a military metaphor, okay? Now, what you need to picture is that there is a fortress. And in that fortress is an enemy. And that enemy is firing arrows at you. We are, as believers in Christ, we are the attacking force. We're on the offensive, and we're going to attack the enemy's fortress, right? Now, the arrows that are being fired are, you jump to Ephesians 6, these arrows are these negative things, right? Depression. God doesn't love you. Nobody loves you. You're not worthy, right? It's a fiery arrow, right? And it's like, you might as well kill yourself. Fiery arrow. This world's going to hell in a handbasket. Or that means, it's another arrow. So we, as a church, are going against the kingdom of the devil, right? The gates of hell shall not prevail. We're going to break them down, right? So we're going against them now. We defeat the enemy. Amen? Because Jesus died on the cross, and that forever gives us the upper hand. We defeat the enemy. We have victory because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he bled for us, and his blood cleanses us of all sin and all unrighteousness, no matter who we are and where we came from. Amen? And so with that power, we defeat the enemy. Now, what do you do with the enemy? You make them prisoners. You're prisoners of war. We've taken them captive. Let me ask you this. When you take an enemy captive, can they fire arrows at you anymore? Not with their hands shackled. They cannot. And so the picture Paul has here is what? He is leading all these captives in a train, basically all shackled. And what he's saying is, you know, here's the enemy poisoning the minds of the people that he's trying to preach to. Or here he is in Corinth. He says, with the power of God, he says, I'm going to tear down these strongholds. I'm going to tear down what the enemy's going to try and do, basically, and take every thought captive. What he's saying basically is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to essentially change the way we think. We're going to essentially capture all these self-defeating arguments that are against us, all these things that come into our mind, all these things that make us think negatively about ourselves, about the world, about God, all these things that stop us from doing what we've really been called to do all along. And we're going to stop all these. And we're going to do it with God's help. We're going to do it with his power. That makes sense?
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.